This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott.
Though the feud with Apple has been escalating for months, Google CEO Larry Page has never given serious consideration to the plan known internally as Operation Ghost Fruit. Then Apple decided to test him, first by removing Google as the default search engine on the iPhone and iPad, and then by blocking Apple devices' access to Google.com entirely. Larry Page has no choice but to go nuclear.
That's an excerpt from Slate's completely fictional, not even remotely true thought experiment called War Games, Apple versus Google, a highly entertaining 10-part series imagining what might happen if the two Silicon Valley behemoths used all their power, resources, and money to destroy each other. The series was written by Matt Iglesias, Slate's business and economics correspondent and Moneybox columnist. Matt, great to have you with us.
Glad to be here.
And Farhad Manju, Slate's technology columnist. Farhad, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Hi, good to be here.
Farhad, you play Google in this war game, and Matt, you are Apple. Now, how did you decide who plays whom, and was it based on, like, fanboy status?
One of our editors came up with the idea and asked us who would win, and we each said the opposite thing. So I said Google would, and Matt said Apple would, and so then we decided to play out whatever we thought.
Farhad, Google launches the first attack, Operation Ghost Fruit. It's really a defensive operation. What pushed Google to the brink? And what is Operation Ghost Fruit?
Yeah, so Operation Ghost Fruit is Google's effort to completely delist Apple from both the search engine and every other part of Google. So if you tried to email someone who worked at Apple from Gmail, it wouldn't work. So all Google's products just kind of blacklisted Apple. And it's a defensive move in response to something that I think is not out of the question for Apple to do, which has been rumored for a while that Apple might remove Google as the default search engine from the phones and tablets that Apple makes.
So the grain of truth shines through all of this, and it appears it really does appear that Google outmatches Apple on a number of fronts. Farhad, what are some of Google's tactics?
The main difference between Apple and Google is that Google is more of a decentralized and less top-down organization. Although in our scenario, the CEO of Google is kind of calling all the shots. He relies on the distributed data centers, the fact that they can be put anywhere, and it makes, I thought, Google kind of harder to kill, harder to destroy, because there are lots of different parts of Google to attack, and that could always kind of be reborn.
Well, I'd love to get to that portrait of Larry Page in just a minute, but, you know, I'm thinking about poor Matt with Apple. I mean, Google has exponentially more computing power. It has street view cars that can go undercover. And when it doesn't like the New York Times coverage of the war, it just disappears the New York Times from its search engine. So, Matt, what does Apple have in its trick bag?
Well, you know, the main conceit of Apple's strategy in this scenario is that Apple is a company that's really, it's a technology company, it's a computing company, but it's a company that's about physical objects, and it's a company that's about brand loyalty. You know, they make products that get much higher profit margins than any of their competitors because people feel a very strong sense of identification with them, and the products are physical things. And so, you know, my idea going into it is that when you talk about actual war, you're talking about, you know, physical actions and ultimately actual violence, and that a company that is able to inspire loyalty, that's able to operate in a world of hard, blunt objects, has certain advantages.
Well, Apple destroys a Google data center in Oregon and releases the iPistol, which Apple devotees wait in line to buy. Now, would the Apple hipsters of New York and San Francisco and Portland really pick up guns, or would the design just have to be really good?
You know, it is true that if you're talking about any kind of big confrontation, I think that mobilizing people and motivating them in ways that aren't strictly rational, you know, is important in any kind of conflict scenario. Apple is one of the few consumer companies that inspires that kind of loyalty. I mean, people get very upset about Apple fans and level a lot of criticisms at them. They call them fanboys. They refer to it as a cult. And then the people who love Apple products, they have their own sort of very deep emotional investment in the company.
Google, however, has the U.S. government on its side and gets the Obama administration to add Apple to its international terrorist list in this war game. So why does the government side with Google from the beginning? Farhad?
Initially, my idea was that politicians would be afraid to fight Google because Google has so much information about them. Google has their email, it has their search history. But I wonder, you know, in a real war, which company would get more political support? I think that both companies kind of have had confrontations with the government and have had a lot of support from different parts of the government, but they're not known as big political players. There's not a lot of criticism of them in the government. There's not a lot of support either.
Well, it's funny because this goes to that portrait of Larry Page. Now, given the great Steve Jobs-shaped hole in the Apple universe, he's pretty much the most entertaining character in this. Very funny and very, very powerful. Tell me how you sort of created this image of this all-powerful Larry Page.
I mean, this is kind of the stereotype of Larry Page, and I don't think many people know the real Larry Page. He's a very private person, and he rarely grants interviews, and he's not like Steve Jobs in the way that, you know, Jobs would kind of come out and present new products. Larry Page is a very kind of behind-the-scenes manager, and for a while, you know, he's been CEO of Google for 2 years now, and for about a year of it, he's had this kind of mysterious voice problem. And so he wasn't even speaking at some of Google's events. So he's kind of been invisible. And so I think that's kind of what added to my portrait. I mean, the stereotype of Larry Page is that he's kind of robotic. It's kind of the stereotype of Google, that it's faceless. I make a joke at one point that he hasn't laughed in like 20 years or something like
right.
that.
Right. So, the first time was watching America's Funniest Home Videos.
Right. That's not what the real Larry Page is like, but I thought it was made for a good joke.
Farhad Manjoo speaking there. He's Slate's technology columnist. He and Matt Iglesias, also from Slate, staged a fictional war game between Google and Apple. It's a 10-part series running in Slate, and it's really enjoyable reading. Well, the game ends with the last chapter written by Slate staff writer Will Arimus. Did you have to call in a third party here?
Well, you know, there was a question of how are you going to bring something like this to an end, because, you know, both of us were interested in keeping the story going, keeping the tit-for-tat going, but also, you know, both sides wanted to win. So I think the only fair way to resolve it ultimately was to pull out a surprise ending. So our editor on the project told us that he was going to step in with something to put an end to this, and neither of us knew where it was going.
Yeah, let's just say it all involves a really surprising choice of president. And of course, Apple and Google have the power to make that happen, which is kind of a funny thing here. I mean, you set the war game in the future, but not so distant future, October of 2013. As I was thinking, wow, could this ever really happen for real? I wondered if it is.
What's fascinating about the sort of big picture competition that's happening in the technology world right now is that the companies aren't strictly symmetrical to one another, that Apple and Google compete, but they're also very different companies. It's not the same as, you know, Ford versus Toyota in the automobile industry, where they're both, you know, making cars. They all, Facebook, Twitter, Apple, Amazon, Google, they all bundle different kinds of services, and their profits come from different kinds of places. And so they have relationships with one another and interdependencies with one another, as well as competition between them. It's what makes the idea of a war sort of seem interesting to play out and think about, but it's also exactly why in the real world nothing like this would ever possibly happen.
Okay, so soon to be a major motion picture then?
You know, I will accept offers if Hollywood wants to come call.
I'm just curious who would play Larry Page.
I think it'd be funny if Will Ferrell played Larry Page.
That's Farhad Manjoo, Slate's technology columnist. He played the part of Google in the war games, Apple versus Google and Matt Iglesias. Thank you also.
Thank you.
There's a link to read the Google versus Apple war game series. It's a 10-part series at wordofmouthradio.org. Vastly entertaining.